Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. We want to begin reading. And this morning we spent some time talking about Paul and his, or Saul, which was turned to Paul, and his conversion. And he asked a great question, what wilt thou have me to do? Well, now, sometime later, when he's standing before Agrippa and those that were in this time period in this room, he gives his testimony. And so I would like to read his testimony of his conversion. And that's why I believe that that song went real well with our message tonight, because we all have a testimony. And I trust that we can all say our names written in the book of life. Beginning with verse, we're actually going to begin with verse 12 of Acts chapter 26. The Bible says, "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with the authority of commission from the chief priest," and this is Paul talking, "at midday, O king, I saw in the way of light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining around about me and them that journeyed with me. And when they were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee." So he's talking about his ministry here. "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins, inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but show first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For this causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me." So there's some of that suffering that we were talking about this morning, about the threatenings and all the things that had taken place in his ministry. "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets of Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for these things was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. We do thank you for this day that you've blessed us with. And Lord, we just pray that you help us tonight. Lord, speak to our hearts, cause us to realize that there's a lost and dying world with all the things that's taking place. Help us to have a vision for people to come to know Jesus. Help us to have that desire that people be saved. And help us to be that light that you would be pleased with that would point people to Jesus Christ. We ask your help tonight. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If someone were to ask you if you needed some repairs done, whether it be on your car or your house or something such as that, you might go to someone and you might say, well, who do I need to take my car to, or who do I need to get to repair this or that? And they would want someone dependable. They would want someone that is trustworthy. They would want someone that would treat them right. They would want someone that would be honest. They would want someone that you would recommend. And so a lot of times people will ask advice or direction when there's a need. And so a lot of times, even when it comes to health, so you might ask, or they might ask, who your doctor is and how well they have treated you and treated your problems. And people are always looking. They're looking for help. And so they need encouragement. They need someone that is trustworthy. They need someone that they can depend on. Well, tonight's message is what others need to know. What others need to know. And our text verse tonight in this passage, and it was a lengthy passage, but it was a testimony that Paul was giving before those leaders. But in verse 22, it says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to the small and to the great, saying none other thing of those than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. So in other words, he thought it needful to witness and to minister to no matter who it is, great and small. He also kept the same message. The message that he stayed on track with. And so we need encouragement. We need encouragement as believers, especially living in this time period, this day, in this hour. We see a decrease in a lot of things. We see a decrease in Christianity. We see a decrease in so many things. And we also see a lot of confusion. We see a lot of hatred. We see a lot of uneasiness. We see a lot of ideas, man's ideas that seem to be taking precedence over God's ideas and what God wants and what God teaches. So before we can encourage others, before we can help others, we need to be encouraged ourselves. And so I want to give you just a few things this evening that can encourage us. If we were standing before this group of individuals that Paul was standing before, would we be able to give our testimony? Would we be able to give the confidence that Paul gave? Would we be able to minister to them? And even, you know, in verses 27, it says, King Agrippa, believest thou these prophets? I know thou believest. And Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And so the message was getting there. And of course, Paul makes mention. He said, I wish that people would almost, but also wish that people would believe ultimately what he was saying. And so we need to have encouragement tonight. And I just want to give you a few verses that I think that we can find encouragement with. And that is this. we have the assurance as believers in Christ, as Christians, as born-again believers, we have the assurance of the Lord's unfailing love. We have the assurance of the Lord's unfailing love. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33, chapter 31, verse 3, I'll get it right in a minute. The Bible says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." So we can be encouraged tonight that we are recipients of that unfailing love. Now, we can watch individuals, we can watch people, we can watch a lot of things in this world, and we'll see things tumble. We'll see things fail. We'll see things fall short. Individuals fall short, we fall short, and we might fall short in someone else's life, but we can be rest assured tonight that we are recipients of the Lord's unfailing love, and we can have that confidence. So as we're ministering, as we're trying to help, as we're trying to encourage, we have that understanding that the Lord loves us. We have the understanding as we're telling others that the Lord loves them, that the Lord loves, and that we then can spring. They'll say, "Well, how do you know? How do you know the Lord loves me?" Then we go to the cross and we explain to them, "Jesus died for your sins. Jesus loved you, and that He died for your sins." Now, there's a lot of individuals that may not understand that. But when it comes to other religions, when it comes to other beliefs that's out there, there's only one: that the leader, that the Lord, died for them. Everything else requires, every other religion, every other thought out there, requires the individual to do something, when in fact the only thing that we do is what he was trying to get Agrippa to do, is believe. That's all we have to do, is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And so we have that understanding and we have that knowledge of his unfailing love. Every child of God knows God loves us in every way. Sometimes in life, sometimes we might not feel very lovable, but I'm glad tonight that the love that He has for us is not based upon our merit, but it's based upon His merit. It's based upon His, what He does, what He's done. You see, it's the understanding of Him, that's where we take a back seat. We take a back seat. It's not about us anyway. It's about Him. And so we experience that unfailing love. Another thing that can encourage us tonight is this. We have a guarantee that the Lord is sufficient in His grace. Now, we've shared with this passage with you a number of times, and I want to share it with you again because Paul was dealing with problems. He was dealing with, and I want to call it, problems of life. You know, we deal with those problems every day, and these problems can come in so many ways. These problems can come in all shapes and sizes. These problems can come, at a moment's notice, or they can be long-term problems. But Paul is asking the Lord, he prays, he does what he's supposed to, and he prays, and in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible says, "And at least I should have been exalted above measure through the absence of revelation. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh." And we've mentioned that. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and it's a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. In other words, he stayed humble. He stayed humble because of this thorn, because of this problem, this situation. He stayed humble. And because, you see, sometimes we should never think of ourselves more highly than we ought to, because our focus should be on the Lord as we're trying to be an encouragement to others, and as we're trying to find encouragement for ourselves, we're guaranteed not only of His unfailing love, but we're also guaranteed that His grace is sufficient for His children. His grace is sufficient. So then he says, "For I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me." So he prayed. He did what he was supposed to. He prayed that this thorn would be removed. And the Lord said, he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient thee, for thee my strength is made perfect in weakness." And then Paul's end result was, "Most gladly therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." You see, having that understanding that His grace is sufficient. We have an understanding of His unfailing love. We have an understanding of His sufficient grace. It keeps us humble. It keeps us having the power of Christ on our life, and we need the power of Christ on our life. We need to pray that the Lord would use us, especially during these very difficult days. You know, we have sorrows and we have disappointments and we have losses and we have loneliness and we have situations and we have hurts, and the list could go on and on and on. But we can be encouraged that His grace is sufficient. No matter what that need is, no matter what that situation is, God's grace is sufficient. And then I think of something else that we can be encouraged about, and that is the Lord's provision. The Lord's provision. You know, I think of a passage that's very familiar to all of us, and it's actually found in Psalm 23, verse 1, and we'll just read the very first verse that says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You know, when I think about that, I think about the fact that we're just simply trusting the Lord. Just simply trusting the Lord that He's our shepherd. Trusting Him through life's problems, through life's difficulties. Just simply trusting Him. And then in Psalm 34 verses 9 and 10 says, "O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear the Lord." That fear Him. "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." You see, that's just simply putting our trust in Him. That's simply putting our confidence in Him. And that should encourage us as we are helping others, and we're trying to encourage others to come to know Jesus Christ. We have to understand ourselves, and we have to find encouragement ourselves as we try to encourage others, because others need encouragement. So we have the guarantee of His sufficient. We have the guarantee of His unfailing love. We have the guarantee of His provision. And we have the guarantee that we're going to see the Lord Jesus. We're going to see the Lord Jesus. You know, sometimes we think about that, it's not a matter of if we get to see Him. It's a matter of when we get to see Him. It's a matter of when we get to see Him. You know, that's the promise that we have of being able to see the Lord. The Lord's return. We look forward to the Lord's return. James chapter 5, verse 7, the Bible says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and have long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain." You see, we're going to get to see Him. We're going to get to see Him. And, you know, I often wonder what we're going to do when we get to see Him. We think about the tears that are bound to flow. We think about the excitement. We think about the rejoicing. And then we think about the humbleness. Being able to see Jesus, the one who loved us, the one who died for us, the one who kept us, the one who gave us that grace. You see, we've got a lot to look forward to. With as much that's going on in this life, a believer can rejoice tonight because we've got something to look forward to. We've got something to look forward to. The Lord's provision. We look forward to His return. All these things give us encouragement. All these things help us to make it through these days. And then we think about the fact that we have a blessing of being with Him. Not only seeing Him, but we have a blessing of being with Him. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible says, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." To die is gain. That's kind of hard sometimes for us to understand. We read it, we quote it. A lot of times we hear it at funerals, and maybe we even tell others, but I think sometimes we've just for the simple fact that we've never experienced it. But when we spend eternity with our Lord and Savior, it's going to be a gain. It's going to be a gain. You see, the words that encourages us is found in the Word of God. And it encourages us during these difficult days, during these difficult times. Paul went through a lot. Paul went through a lot of difficulties. Paul went through, as I've mentioned before, he went through shipwreck. He went through prison. He went through beatings. He went through, trials, prisons, and all these things. But he never lost sight of Jesus. He never lost sight of Jesus. So then he became that true and effective witness. So here in the book of Acts, as he's encouraged himself, as he's talking to others, he witnesses as a spokesperson. He's speaking for Jesus. And so, it's one thing to be a good talker, but it's also another thing to truly believe what you're saying. Paul believed what he was saying. Paul believed how he was ministering. He was ministering to others. And he even makes mention that I read to you. Paul says, "I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am." In other words, he wanted them to believe. He wanted them to be converted. And so Paul was very effective because Paul believed in what he was preaching. He believed in what he was preaching. He spoke to all as he was ministering, as he was giving his testimony that John was singing about, our names being in the book of life. That's our testimony. Our testimony of what God has done for us. And he makes mention here that he believes it's just as important whether it's a small group of people or a large group of people, whether it's somebody small as far as, where they come from, whether they're rich, whether they're poor. Every person, no matter their background, no matter their nationality, every person needs Jesus. Every person. And Paul understood that. He was ministering primarily to the Greek, but he also ministered to the Jews. And so his whole ministry wasn't about the group as much of it was about the message. Paul had a tremendous message, and we have that same message today, that Jesus died for your sins. The gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul was willing to tell anyone about Jesus. Paul was willing to tell anyone. And it didn't matter whether he was going through a rough time or not. He wrote several letters in prisons. And as he was in prison, he wrote several letters. So it didn't matter where he was in life, what stage he was in life, what situation he was in life. In Acts chapter, 16, he was in prison. He had been beaten. And he began to sing. He began to sing. You see, when individuals see a difference in us, then they're going to ask questions. That's what the jailer did. The jailer said, "What must I do to be saved?" And the answer was, "Believest on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Paul didn't say, "Watch me." Paul didn't say, "Do what," you know. It wasn't about Paul, but it was about Jesus. And that's how he became an effective witness, and he was able to stand before this group of people as his testimony. He spoke to all because he had a passion for the lost. He had a passion for the lost. And then number three, he just kept going. He just kept going. Sometimes life becomes hard. Sometimes life becomes tough. Sometimes, we get disappointments, and sometimes we get difficulties. But he just kept keeping on. He kept going. He continued, whether there were setbacks. He continued, whether there were trials. He continued, whether there be tests. He continued, whether there were persecutions. He continued, whether there was opposition. He continued, whether there was threatenings. He continued, whether there was beatings. And even when he was on trial, he continued, because he believed the message that he proclaimed. He kept going. He kept teaching. He kept proclaiming, because he knew that people needed to be saved. He knew that people needed to be saved. He was true to his word. We see that in verse 22. "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day." He stayed true to God's word. He preached the word. He lived the word. And he stood by the word. What a testimony that Paul had in his life, in his closing days. He kept true to the word. And he made much of Jesus. Verse 23 says that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. He made much of Jesus. He made much of Jesus. He was not a witness only at the moment, but he was a witness in life. It wasn't during just a certain time period in his life that, you know, he became hot and then cold and then hot and then cold, but he stayed steady. He stayed the course, and he made much of Jesus. He was a witness, and he was effective. I look back at that journey of life that we were talking about this morning, and how that he said, "What will you have me to do? What will you have me to do?" And Jesus told him, and he stayed the course. What a testimony. He stayed the course. And then lastly tonight, he couldn't do it without the Lord's help. We can't do it without the Lord's help. Having obtained help of God. That's what we need tonight, is we need help. We need help in every possible way. If there's struggles that we have in life, if there's difficulties, temptations, all those things, we need help. But we also need to remember that others need Jesus. I'm convinced tonight that, as I mentioned this morning, that God has a plan for each one of us. God has a purpose. And I believe that one of the purposes that we all have is to tell others about Jesus. And many times, we simply do it by how we live. The people that are around us the most know us the best. They know us the best. And Paul was the same. No matter what situation he was in life, he was the same. And I'd like to kind of categorize his testimony in just this sentence. He was a lover of Jesus. He was a lover of Jesus. We too can be a lover of Jesus because of what He's done. We have encouragement. We have stability. We have a foundation. And we have a testimony because others need to know. Others need to know. You know, I look back at this time of life that we're in, and we look at all the things that's taking place, and, you know, we know who has the final say of everything. That is the Lord. We understand that. But I believe that the time is growing close to the Lord Jesus Christ coming back. It's growing close. People need Jesus. People need Jesus. And we're here that we can help others. No matter what situation we're in, we can help others. Just simply being a witness for the Lord Jesus. Something to think about, something to consider, that it's about Jesus. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank You for our time together. We thank You for the encouragement that we see in Paul's ministry and how that You gave him a course. You gave him a plan. We thank You for his testimony. But Lord, You've now given us a plan. Help us to follow that plan, whatever it may be for our lives. But help us to keep You first. Help us to keep You in the forefront of every aspect of our life. As we have this invitation, Lord, I pray that if You've spoken to hearts in any way, just simply saying, Lord, I need Your help. I need Your help in life. Lord, I pray that they'll come. We do pray for those that so faithfully listen online, that You'll help them, encourage them, and cause them to realize they too are witnesses for Jesus. Because people need the Lord. Bless this invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.